They'd seen him heal countless people. In our Sunday school lesson last week, we talked about the man with the withered hand, where Jesus didn't touch him. He didn't say, "Go and wash thyself." He just said, "Stretch forth your hand." And here's this man, he walked in, withered up, came out. They'd seen that, ladies and gentlemen. They had seen the impotent man that had dwelled by the pool for 38 years rise up and walk by this one that was riding on the colt. They had seen as Jesus came to that widow's son, as he was going by in the coffin, and Jesus said, "Hold up a second. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. He that was dead got up." Now, I don't know about you. I think we ought to praise the Lord about a lot of things. But I'll tell you what. Going to a funeral and not having a burial is something to praise the Lord about. Amen? And so they began to just praise Him. And there's so many others. You could go right down the list. We've been studying them in our Sunday school class. These miracles. The man born blind. I love that one. In John chapter 9. He had never seen a thing. Jesus took still, laid clay, put it upon his eyes, told him to go wash. He said, "You see anything? I see men as trees." And all of a sudden he said, "I see." And then the Pharisees, you know, the grumpies. Amen. The Grinches. "Tell us how you made, tell us how you received your sight." A man named Jesus made clay and he put it on my eyes and I see. And they didn't believe him. And later on, he said, "Tell us again how you made sight." Once, he said, "A man named Jesus, he made clay and put it in my eyes and I washed it, and now I see." And then they said a third time, "Tell us how you got your sight. We know this man is a sinner."
He said, "Whether he be a sinner, I know not. All I know is that once I was blind, and now I see."
Hey, listen, folks, that's something to praise the Lord about. And they began to lift up their voices and praise the Lord. How about they were just in Bethany.
Bethany was a place where a very unique family lived that loved Jesus Christ. Their names were Mary, Martha, and they had a brother named Lazarus. And Lazarus had died.
And he had been dead, and the Lord waited. And the disciples couldn't understand that. And then you got old Thomas. You got to love Thomas, eh, Ben? Thomas always got something to say. He said, "Well, should we go? He's sick." And Jesus said, "No, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead." And then old Thomas says, "Well, let us go that we can die with him." Yeah, that's faith, amen? That's why we call him Doubting Thomas, amen? Jesus said, no, I'm going to do something that you've never seen before. And he comes to a grave where the stone is over it. And he says, "Roll away the stone." And Martha said, "Oh no, Lord, not. You don't want to do that. He's been in there 4 days, and by now he stinks." He said, "Didn't I tell you if you just do what I said, you'd see the glory of God?" And what did he do? He said, "Roll away the stone." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was bound in grave clothes came forth, bound hand and foot. Can you imagine such a thing? I think that's why they were praising the Lord here in our text. They thought about all the wonderful, mighty works that they had seen with our own eyes. And can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you can see those with the spiritual eye of faith when you read the Bible. And how we ought to praise the Lord. And so how could they but help but hold their peace? They couldn't. They couldn't hold their peace. And then we see verse 39. And some of the Pharisees, here they are, the Grinches, the Grouches, amen? Always upset at something. Said, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Because what did they say? They said, "Blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord." They said, "Hey, you're not supposed to say that.
Of course, they didn't believe he was God, amen? So this would be a great affront to the Pharisees. "Hey, tell them to be quiet."
And Jesus says this. In verse 40, he answered and said, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." That last statement is the focus of our message today. Just imagine, if you could,
that the Pharisees said, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And Jesus said, disciples, quiet.
Quiet. What would the stones have said? Can you imagine a rock talking? Can you imagine that? Well, a donkey did in the Old Testament.
Amen. A rock gave water in the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but that's not a real good spot to look for water.
Start drilling in that rock till you hit water. Well, you're going to run out of drills before you get water, amen? But it happened. And now let me just tell you this. I freely admit this is what we would call a suppositional sermon this morning, because the stones did not cry out, and all God's people said. But I want you to think, if Jesus did, he rebuked them, what would the stones say? Our title today is called The Sermon of the Stones. And I can tell you emphatically, based on this text, that I can guarantee you the stones would praise the Lord. Because everything that God has created praises Him. Everything. And as we come to Palm Sunday and we sing songs like praise Him, and all hail the power of Jesus' name, I want you to consider the Sermon of the Stones. What would the stones cry out as Jesus walked by? Well, I believe, number one, they would cry out, He created us. He created us. So just imagine, Jesus is walking on this road, and there are these stones along on the road, and Jesus hushes His disciples, and then the Pharisees go, good. Too much noise around here. And all of a sudden the stones cry out, He created us! And the Pharisees go, whoa! Why? Because the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then on the third day in verse 9 it said, and God said, let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. John 1, in verse 1, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was at the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know what that means? Every rock was created by Jesus Christ. Every one of them. Every stone. And I believe as Jesus walked by, those stones would say, that's the Creator right there walking by us. He created us. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, by whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, contrary to what Jehovah's false witnesses will tell you, is the Creator God. Jesus Christ is the Creator God. Thank God He is. And as He walked by, those stones would say, if they were granted divine permission, as Balaam's donkey was before, they would say, He created us. That's the Creator right there. He created us. And may I just say, you are, and we heard a wonderful message on Wednesday night. If you weren't here, boy, you missed a blessing. You are a special creation of God. You are here. Special creation. And listen, if you have been born again by the Spirit of God, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's your Creator. He created you unto good works. And how could we not praise Him for that? He created us, number one. The stones would say, He created us. Number two, they would say, He touched us. He touched us. They say, what do you mean, Pastor? Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. Let me read it to you. It says, and He gave unto Moses, and when he had made an end of communing upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Those two tables of stone that Moses had, they were just two regular stones. And then God touched him. And I believe as Jesus walked by, they would not only say, He created us, but they'd say, He touched us. He touched us. God touched us. And you know, those two tables of stone, they would have just been two blocks without the touch of God. But now, they're found everywhere in the world. They're found in this church. They're probably found in your home. And we call them the Ten Commandments. You know what they are. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And I want to tell you something. It was those Ten Commandments that convinced me of my sin. You know what two tables of stone would have done? Nothing. I would have said there were those two tables of stone. Oh, but He touched the stones. He not only created the stones, He touched the stones. Hey, have you considered what your life would be? My perspective, I would not be a preacher of the gospel. I can guarantee you that. Without the touch of God. We would not be saved without the touch of God. God has touched your life. And my, how we ought to say, like the stones, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He not only created us, but He touched us. He touched us, touched our lives, and He allows us to touch other people's lives. I think of the Bostons getting ready to start a bus route here at Loomis. And those of you that have been part of Loomis for a long time, you know that had bus routes before. And listen, I want to tell you something. Running a bus route now is a tough thing. It's a tough thing. Trying to get young people in, trying to keep their attention and have promotions that they enjoy. There's lots of competition from the devil. But you know what it's really going to take, Brother and Sister Boston? It's going to take a touch of God. It's going to take the touch of God. And as Jesus passed by here on His way to the cross, that I believe that those stones would say, He created us, but also He touched us. He touched us. Oh, praise the Lord for His touch in our lives. Number one, He created us. Number two, He touched us. Number three, He placed us. I believe that as they walk by, as Jesus walked by, that those stones would say, He placed us right where He wanted us. He placed us. Psalm chapter 27, verse 5 says, For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock that was placed there by God. A rock. God, from the beginning of time and through the various stages, has placed the stones where He chooses. I think about this every time my wife and I go on vacation. And we go, we like to go to Cape Cod is one of our favorite places to go. It's just old rocky beach and not a place where anybody, hallelujah, you know, sunbathes or anything like that. Just too many rocks. But that doesn't bother me. I like to look at them. I see the rocks and I say, my goodness, God put that here. God put that here because He wanted to. Because it was going to bring glory to Him. My parents live in Westfield, Massachusetts, the neighborhood I grew up in, they basically cut into a mountain and they built a 200-house neighborhood. Well, as kids, we climbed the cliffs, Brother Bittinger. You say, as kids you climb? Don't tell my mother when she comes that we climb cliffs, amen? But we did, amen? There was all kinds of shale and rock. And I just thinking about that, we'd go to the top of the cliff and we'd sit there with our legs hanging off. Amen. And just think about it and just look. My goodness. God placed this here. Is that power or what? Amen. Is that unbelievable that God placed that rock here? And I believe as Jesus walked by and those stones on either side of him would say, He created us. He touched us. He placed us. Praise the Lord. Have you praised the Lord for the family He's placed you in? Young people, listen to me. You're here this morning, and God placed you in a family that goes to church. Think about that. Listen, I'm an adopted only child. I praise the Lord every day for the family that He chose to place me in. The divine choice of God, amen, that God chose for me to be in my family. He placed me there. I praise His name for it. I hope you do. Hope you praise God for you, the family He's placed you in. How about for the church that He has placed you in? God placed you here. And the Bible says that the church is a body, and God hath put it together as it hath pleased Him. That means God needed you here. God needed you here. And so He placed you here. Do you praise the Lord for that? I hope you do. Hope you don't just come to church and say, give me something. Give me something. And I know how that's, it can be that way sometimes. You're like a bird. You know, baby bird. I need some food. I understand how that is. But my, how we ought to come into a church with an attitude of praise to God. Praise. Why? Because He placed us. He placed us in His family. He placed us in our family. He placed us in this church. How about the town that He has placed you in? I think of some of you precious senior saints. You have lived in Jackson all your life. By the placement of God. God placed you here. Your job, where you go, God placed you in that job. I trust that you're being a blessing, handing out gospel tracts. And listen, I worked in the world for 8 years after I had the call of God in my life. 12 years, really, because I worked all the way through Bible college. I know what it is to try to work at a job with those that are not Christians and try to be a witness, but God placed you there. And you know what you should do? Say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? He created us. He touched us. He placed us, the stones would say. Number four, He not only created us, He touched us, He placed us. Boy, I like this one. It's one of those points you like preaching, Brother Jones. He used us. The stones would say, He used us. As He walked by and those stones cried out, one of them said, He used us. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, there's a great story. We teach it in Sunday school. About a giant 9'6" with a beam that looked like a telephone pole with his spear. And he stood out on a mountain and he said to Israel, give me a man to fight. And whoever wins the fight, we'll either serve you or you'll serve us, but I'm not going to lose, so bring him out. The Bible says that Israel cowered. They feared. Here comes this shepherd boy named David. And he just kind of stumbled along and said, hey, what's going on? And he heard Goliath. And this is the RAZ vernacular, the version. And he heard Goliath. He looked around and said, who's this clown? That's my version, amen? It doesn't say that, amen? He looked out and just see David and said, who's this clown? Who's this guy? Why doesn't somebody go out there and make him be quiet? And they said, excuse me, did you see the size of him? He's as big as a basketball hoop, even though there were no basketball hoops back then. He's big. He's 10 feet. He said, listen, God's bigger than he is. God's bigger than he is. And so Saul said, boy, you want it? You got it. Here's my sword. And he took the sword and went. He said, well, that's not going to work. He said, here, take my armor. Put that armor on him. And he went like this. And he said, well, that's not going to work either. He said, it's okay. I've got in my bag 5 smooth stones. And old Goliath, David's got those sling and the stones, and old Goliath looks at him and says,
Am I a god? This is what you bring me, Israel? This ain't going to take long. David said, you're right. It's not going to take long. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Here you go, big boy. Whack! Right in the forehead. And the Bible says he fell forward. Now, listen, you can believe whatever you want. One day we'll get to heaven and find out. But if you got hit in the forehead, you'd go backwards. I believe God might drop dead. Amen? I mean, healed right over.
But what did God use? God used a stone. And so I believe as Jesus walked by and the disciples were being quiet that the rocks and the stones would say, he placed us, he touched us, he created us, he used us. How about in Exodus chapter 17, we mentioned it. Here's those murmuring Israelites. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, this is awful. Did you bring us out in the wilderness to die? Well, that must have been a great trip, amen? I was thinking about, we're getting ready in May to go out to do a wedding, and we have those of you that don't know, we have 2 children under 2. And New England is 800 miles away. No matter how fast you drive, it's still 800 miles, amen? And I just know that we're going to have some points in the trip where that was Moses' whole trip, amen? Moses' whole trip was And so the Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 6, the Bible says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon a rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. You see, God used stones for victory. God used stones to provide for his people. God used stones so that we would remember. Joshua chapter 4, verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children, so when your children say to you, what meaneth these stones? Then ye shall set the children of Israel, that Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. He created us. He touched us. He placed us. He used us. Hey, listen, church, listen to me. Have you praised God for him using you? God has used some of you to be a blessing. And you know what you should do? Don't be proud and say, oh, he used me. No, you should praise his name. That he would use you. Every time I think when the Lord uses me, I always think, God, you could have got somebody better. You could have got somebody better. You could have used somebody else. He says, yes, 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 but I want to use you. Remember Moses, he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent of speech, and I'm not, and God had an answer for every excuse he gave. He said, I want to use you. You listen to me. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your past is. God wants to use you. God delights to use sinners. He used us. He uses us to be a blessing. Hey, he's used some of you to bear a burden, to help somebody to bear a burden. Listen, we live in troublesome times, folks. People have burdens. And they come, and they may come to you, and God will allow you to be used to bear a burden. How about to help a friend? Have you ever considered that? God desires to use you, just like he used those stones. Use you. How about to show a sinner the way of salvation? God allows us to take place in the greatest banking transaction that's ever been known to man, the redemption of a soul. Listen, it just doesn't happen. He uses people. We go out on Saturdays, knock doors, invite people to come. We give invitations here at church, invite people to come. Why? Because we desire for him to use us. It's a wonderful thing to be used of God. Wonderful thing. To guide a child. Some of you in Sunday school, you faithfully proclaim every week the Word of God. Keep doing it, please. Keep doing it. One day, my kids are going to be in your Sunday school class. Amen? And one day, my kids are going to grow up and be in the teen class and all that. You got to keep doing it. Why? Because God uses you. He uses you. And by the way, He'll reward you one day. those stones, what would they say? He created us. He touched us. He placed us. He used us. Number five, He moved us. He moved us. In the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great." You see, this event happened instantaneously, ladies and gentlemen. The stone was there, and then it was rolled away. Can I say only God could have done that? Oh, it may have taken several men to move it into place and all that, but this happened like that, with nobody else around. It was God. And so, as Jesus is walking here in the triumphal entry, he's riding upon the colt, those stones would say, "Hey, He created us, He touched us, He placed us, He used us, but also He moved us. He moves us whithersoever He will." Hey, ladies and gentlemen, have you considered God's moving in your life? You know, listen to me. Let me talk to the Christians for just a minute. You're here today and you're saved. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin. Aren't you glad for that? I'll tell you what, best evidence that you are truly saved is the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. When you do wrong, He moves in our life. He moves. Conviction. I think of how He moves us to confess our sins. You know, that just doesn't happen, folks. It takes a moving of God. A moving of God in our lives. The fact that He moves. He moves in our conduct. And I praise His name. He moves us to change when we're wrong. He moves us. Just like He moved those stones, He moves us. Praise the Lord that He moves in our life. Number six, and last of all, what would the stones say as that the King of Kings came riding upon a colt? They would say, "He created us. He touched us. He placed us. He used us. He moved us." Lastly, He blessed us. He blessed us. You see, what do you mean? He blessed stones? He blessed rocks? Oh, yeah. You say, where is that? It's in the second chapter of the Gospel of John. When Jesus' mother came to Him, He was at a marriage, and they said, "They've run out of wine." Jesus told the servants to go and to get the water pots. In verses 6 through 9, I'll just read it to you. It says, "And there were set 6 water pots of," does anybody know? Stone. 6 water pots of stone. "After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with the water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He saith, draw out now unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine," He blessed us. He not only used us, He not only moved us, He not only placed us, He not only touched us, He not only created us, but He blessed us. He blessed us. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know how to count your blessings, you need to learn God's math. Counting your blessing is God's math. Amen? First of all, if you're a Christian here, you're saved. You will never, 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 never spend 1 day, 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second in hell. It sounds to me like He blessed you. Have you considered the fact that you are healthy enough to come to church today? I'll tell you get in your youth, you forget that. I was there with all those teenagers yesterday, and I felt like a teenager until I got off the plane and I went. Got up this morning and said, "Oh my goodness, what day is it?" Amen. It's Sunday. Oh my goodness, I better get going here. What is that? Hey, we have health. Young people take it for granted. I played softball last year for the first time in quite a while. And boy, I said, I play in the outfield, you know, and here I am. I got got my glove and I'm ready to go, and guy hits a ball and your mind says, you can get that. And your body says, are you kidding? Are you joking? And then your body says the next day, ah! Amen. I say, what is that? Health. Health. How about we start praising God for our health? The fact that God has blessed us with health. How about your family? Some of you praise the Lord. And listen, we know that the end of all flesh is coming. We understand that. Every one of us is going to be either sitting in the pew looking at a loved one, or we're going to be the one at the front of the church. But how about praising God for your family? Some of you so bitter against your family. Well, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. We had to do this. Phooey on that stuff. Praise God for your family. Praise God. Praise God for your church, your job. How about your country? Pastor Sullivan preached on that on Wednesday night. Hey, listen. You live in America. You can come to church anytime you want to, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Live in America. Freedom, prosperity. Very few people that I've ever known were hungry because they didn't have food here in America. That's the country we live in. Sounds like something to praise the Lord about. How about the life God has given you? God given you life. And I'm like Frank Capra. It's a wonderful life. Amen? It's a wonderful life. I love living life. Oh, are there disappointments? Are there discouragements? Are there deaths? Yes, 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 yes. But I'm glad I have life. Glad God has given me life. Lastly, to praise the Lord about something to praise Him about. The fact that He blessed us, blessed us with our salvation, our health, our family, our church, our job, our country, our life. How about our home in heaven, ladies and gentlemen? Well, I was thinking of the song. I almost wanted to sing it this morning. It just didn't really go with the message. That song, Sweet Beulah Land. I'm kind of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. Hey, listen, we've got a home in heaven. The Bible says in Peter, it's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Hey, those stones, what did they say? What did they say? They said He created us. They said He touched us. They said He placed us. They said He used us, He moved us, and He blessed us. At the beginning of the message, I told you that this is what we call a suppositional sermon. The stones didn't say that. Amen? But I believe that there's some profit and some application. Those stones didn't cry out, but I want you to go to a text, just one more text. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll close with this. And I know we have baptism to follow today, several baptisms actually, praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 2. As we close, I want you to look at verse number 2. This idea of the stones crying out. Look at verse 2. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. That's a requirement if you're a new Christian. The word of God. You need the word of God to grow. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, that's the Lord, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, that's you and me, as lively, what? You know what God wants you to do? To praise Him. God wants you to say, He created me. God wants you to say, He touched me. God wants you to say, He placed me. God wants you to say, He used me. God wants you to say, He moved me. And God wants you to say, He blessed me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we love You because You first loved us. We thank You for the fact that You are our